Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor, welcoming you out for a fantastic show today, a show that's for you and about you. Those of you that really are sick and tired of working so hard for your money, and you're now ready for your money to start working harder for you. It's about creating that freedom, that cash flow, and the prosperity right now, not 30 or 40 years from now. It's about being able to work because you want to, not because you have to. Have all that freedom, that ability to allow you to not only take care of your family and to do the things that you want when you want, but allows you to create a ripple effect in other people's lives because you are allowed to have the freedom to bless them too. And I'm proud to be a part of you guys and to be a Rippler just like you because, man, you guys give me that stage, this platform that I can share that allows me to share my knowledge and the things that I've learned. And I learned from you too. And so I appreciate you guys so much for tuning in, for sharing the show, for expanding and growing. And my goodness, you guys, like I love those who've been reaching out lately and we've find so much possibility. Like I can create such a greater ripple effect because of you guys, because I can express my gifts through you. So thank you so much for being a part of this show. As a reminder, check out our website, moneyripples.com. You know, on there, you can even check out blogs and there's, you know, other things that are on there too. You even have a free ebook if you want to check out Beyond Rice and Beans, 7 Secrets to Free Up Cash Today. That's specifically for those of you that are saying, hey, I need to find more money to free up and see what I can do to actually investigate my money working for me. And so great way to find more resources. So, you know, I want to talk today really about what I know has been on a lot of people's minds, and it hasn't just been lately. It's been for months. I mean, how many times have we heard people talking about, you know, when's the recession coming? When's the next hit? When's the next bubble and all this kind of stuff, right? You know, and it's interesting because what's been happening lately, it hasn't just confused a lot of financial experts, because there's a lot of financial experts that have been, their predictions have been off. My own predictions have been off about when a recession was going to start or not start, right? And how it's going to look. And the truth is that, you know, anytime there's somebody that predicted something correctly in a previous bubble or a previous, you know, dip or high, people think, oh my goodness, they must be like the prophet, you know? And then of course the next bubble hits and they were totally wrong. You know, or their next prediction comes out and they were way off, right? You know, and I know of really good economists that have been wrong. And that's just the name of the game, is that we don't totally know what the future holds, and definitely at different points at different times. But the one thing we do know is that just like everything in life, the economy as well ebbs and flows, right? There's going to be highs and there's going to be lows. You know, and lately you're seeing a lot of apprehension. I mean, even the stock market's having a little bit of, you know, crazy bipolarness, you know, for the last year. I mean, you guys are pretty much, you know, well, if you actually got the stock market returns, you probably just broke even. But after their fees, you probably have been losing money in the last year compared to where you were last year. So that's the thing, is like, it's not so cool, right? It's not so much fun. So I want to talk about really from my experience going through really several different, you know, highs and lows, right? You know, because I mean, even when I was a financial advisor, I mean, I came in right after after 9/11. And so it was right in the middle of the recession. Great time to become a financial advisor, right? So I was kind of born in the trial of fire there. And then of course, you know, I had my own personal little dip, even though the economy was recovering, I had my own low. And then of course we had the Great Recession, which, you know, came after my high where I was able to retire the first time in 2006. Recession hits 2007, 8, and 9. And then, oh, holy cow, like I got hit hard in that one. And so, you know, the one thing I've learned from all of these things is just the power of how important it is to be prepared at all times. You know, and that's what I want to share with you guys today is what's the best way to recession-proof yourself? Because, I mean, heck, whether it's like in 2004 when I quit my full-time job and decided to go full-time as a financial advisor, as the traditional financial advisor, mind you, I went there full-time. I panicked. I freaked out. And I remember, you know, I started running up my credit cards. I freaked out that I hit $5,000 of credit card balances, guys. Like I was freaking out because, and my expenses at that time, they were only about, $2,500 a month. I mean, they weren't much at all. I had a baby at the time, my oldest at that time, you know, and that was it. Like I just had an infant and my wife and I living in a house that was, you know, like a startup home. And, you know, it was simple times, but man, like when you're negative cash flow, it stresses you out. And that's what happened. I was negative cash flow. And I remember, trying to ask, family for money and things like that to help me make ends meet. Because when that scarcity hit, when all of a sudden all that responsibility rested on my shoulders, I freaked out, and that was nothing compared to the recession where I went from, really went to being over $1 million in the hole, So I went from being able to be retired because of, the cash flow streams I created. And that's the cool thing is that, 2004, I had my little low, my little dip, but by the end of 2004, I was coming, by the beginning of 2005, I was making a little comeback. It was end of 2004, about Christmas time. I was struggling and I was scrambling to find little jobs, side jobs or whatnot. And then 2005 spring, things started to really turn around for me. And then by 2006, I quit being a financial advisor. I basically, rejected any claims that it was truth. and then I started to learn from guys that actually had retired, and I was able to create streams of income where I was able to retire in 2006. And I didn't have that much in my account. It wasn't like I was rich or anything, but I found out that streams of income were critical. And the same thing was true even during the Great Recession. Great Recession hit. I had cut off income streams. The very ones that got me to retire, I cut those off in name of trying to perform a mission, right? To do a mission with some other partners. And, and that was, it was great. It was perfect. It was exactly what I needed to learn. But there was dumb mistakes. There's things I could have avoided during that last recession that would help me weather through it and keep that scarcity at bay, which allows me to even create more money more easily. So that's what I want to focus on today is what can you guys do, no matter what angle it comes from, what are some real basic things that allow you to weather that storm, no matter what hits? First and foremost, I'll say this, is that you got to keep some reserves. You need to keep reserves on hand, and I talk about on the show, having it, trying to get up to that 6 month emergency reserve is key, and you might want more than that. I mean, if you're a business owner, you may want 6 to 12 months just to have that protection for you because, you never know. I mean, I had some of those reserves even before the last recession, but it didn't matter if I was in the hole $16,000 a month. and that was, that's, and I will come to it at the next point here too, but really having those cash reserves are essential is to have at least 6 months of expenses at least. And now the cool thing is, and this is the thing that everybody always brings up. They say, yeah, but Chris, for that what if scenario, and it doesn't matter too, by the way, your own personal recession can happen during the middle of a boom. You could be struggling right now when everybody seems like they're great, well off. And I experienced that myself. But, that reserve is humongous. I call it abundance insurance because just by knowing it's there, and this is true whether you work a job or you work a business, and I say especially if you work a business, it's essential because I'll tell you, there's so many times that, I would be in a situation where I know it would be a tight month. And of course, I would think, oh, now this hasn't happened lately, but it's happened before where I'm like, okay, this month is a little bit tight. But if I would go back to say, all right, Chris, you've got X amount of thousands of dollars in the bank. You don't need this one person, this one client or this one deal or this one product to be sold or whatever it needs to be. And when I thought of that, I realized, you know what? I'm okay. I don't need that. And the funny thing is whenever I got to a place of, hey, I don't need that. You know what? If I would only offer things to people because it made real sense, it's amazing how many more people would say yes anyways, instead of trying to force sales or try to force income, which is what a lot of people do and do by mistake. And that ends up costing them more. But to know and say, you know what? I don't need that one paycheck. I don't need that one sale. I don't need that 1 month of rent or two or three or five, 6 months of rent. If you have real estate investments, because I've got the reserves in place. Hey, I want it, yes, but I don't need it. And when you get to that place, it's amazing how you can relax and how often the solutions present themselves so readily, so easily, that most of the emergencies don't really happen for a long time. So you need to have those kind of reserves. You need that. I can't tell you how critical that is at any time, and especially during boom times. If you happen to use it up during the hard times, replenish it. That should be your big focus. It doesn't have to happen overnight, but it does need to happen. You know, give you some examples. I had some client recently where they didn't have those reserves, but that was their big focus. And they said, well, how do we get that? And for them, I said, you know what? The best thing you could probably do is actually probably do a cash out refinance of your mortgage or get a HELOC, you know, get a home equity line of credit. And I said, here's the warning. It will increase your monthly payment. You know, they just need like an extra $10,000, $15,000, right? I said, yeah, you'll increase your monthly payment by probably around $50, $60 a month or so. But here's the thing is that if you've got $10,000, $15,000, how long can you keep paying that $50 or $60 a month? A long time, right? Great. It makes sense. Yeah, and I'll tell you, that's what's so essential. I'd much rather have the reserves in place and have debt than to be debt-free and no savings. You are way more risky if you are debt-free and don't have savings. It's so critical that you have savings as a component. Even if you're trying to pay off debt, I'll have people still preserve some savings in place. Not $1,000, not like that baby step, but more. You know, usually thousands of dollars before we aggressively try to pay off certain loans. Why? Because I'll tell you, from my own experience, the last recession, that was one of the biggest things I learned. Because I made the mistake of putting extra money in equity in my own home. And then, of course, when the bank says, sorry, you can't touch it, well, what are you going to do? Try to sell your house? Well, if they make it really hard for you to sell your house, all of a sudden you'll see your prices decline, and now you've lost that equity. You realize that when I threw in a ton of money into my house, that was the worst investment. I would have been better off investing in the mutual funds that lost money. Do you understand that? I lost the equity I put into my house during that recession. I would have been better off gambling in mutual funds that lost 30, 40%. So understand that you want to have that equity out. I actually like having the money out of there. And if I would have kept reserves outside of my home instead of dumping it all in and trying to focus on that, I would tell you I would have been much, much better off. And I had some reserves, but if I would have had more, man, it would have helped me so much weather through those times, keep my head level, and come up with solutions versus scrambling like crazy, like a madman, trying to figure out how to solve my $16,000 a month issue. Which leads to the next point. The second thing you need to do, first, is have a cash reserves. Second, manage your expenses. Now, guys, I know this sounds like I'm talking about finance 101, but it's kind of not. Because it's a lot of things that most people don't do. So, managing your expenses. You know, you want to make sure that you are tracking your money every month. Tracking it, income and expenses, and find ways to minimize those expenses. Now, I'm not saying don't enjoy life. That's the exact opposite of what I teach. I do want you to enjoy life, but I also want you to be wise, a wise steward of the money that you have. So, you know, guys, the one thing I didn't do right before that last recession is I was not tracking my expenses anymore. I was making so much money, more than enough money, that I didn't care. It wasn't until like I started to see some signs like savings diminishing, credit card balances going up. You know, at first it's just like, oh, I'll just put on this credit card. But then when I was like, oh, I can't pay this down. You know, I don't have the funds to do that because I was just looking at my balance of my checking account. That is not tracking your money, by the way. And so when I started to actually look at what was I really spending, both in my business and in my personal life, holy cannolis, guys, it was incredible. It was incredible just to see that because I realized that the real revenue I was generating from that new business when I came out of retirement, you know, was only like $5,000-$6,000 a month. But the expenses on that side between the business and the personal were well over $20,000 a month. And so I was panicked because I'm like, oh my goodness, I got to do something about this. And I started questioning things. I started questioning, you know, why I was paying certain expenses in that business in the first place. I did it more in the name of a mission than I was in actually questioning, hey, wait, why am I paying this much money? You guys understand, I was paying $3,000 a month for a 160 square foot office. It was not that nice, guys. It was a nice office, but it wasn't that nice. And on top of that, I was getting paid piddly for the work I was doing for that company. And so, I had to renegotiate that over time, or I threatened, to leave. And it would help because most people did leave by that point. So I had some leverage, by, 2008, 2009, most of them had already jumped ship by 2009. So I was all alone and I was able to renegotiate some things much better. But I'll tell you, it was an interesting time, and I had to look at my personal expenses. I'm like, hey, did I really need to have someone, I was hiring out everything, right? Did I really need to do that? I was doing it in the name of production of, hey, I need to hire out mowing my lawn. I need to hire out cleaning my house because, hey, it saves my wife time. And, hey, it allows me more time to work and make money. But the truth was, I wasn't using that time to work and make money, In truth, I was still doing some work, but that didn't really save me any real time. I was just like, oh, I have more time with the family. I was just paying for free time. And the problem is, if you can't justify it, oh my goodness, it's scary. And so guys, during boom times, even during good times, like if now is a good time for you, find ways to minimize those expenses as much as possible. Pack away as much cash as you can. I mean, one, to invest, but two, to, like I said, go back to that first point of building reserves. So really pay attention to those expenses. And then third, this one's a big important one too, because I learned this as well for myself. And I already mentioned this, is create multiple streams of income. You need to have multiple streams of income coming in, not just your main source of income, whether that's through your job or a business, but you need multiple streams. If you're a business owner, find ways to create multiple streams within your business, not ones that distract you from your business. Be careful of that. There's many people who try to create multiple streams by creating multiple businesses. That I do not recommend that. I did that during the last recession. I actually had 5 business streams coming in from different types of businesses. A few of them related to each other, but for the most part, they were separate, and I'll tell you, my overall income dropped. However, when I cut off 3 of those 5 and focused on 2, my overall income, the revenue I was bringing in that business, increased because there was focus. I was given attention and the time that they both deserved versus spreading my focus so thin that I was making money in all of them, but just not as much overall. So I was actually losing money more so by having too many streams of income. And so if you're doing it within business, make sure that they relate. Make sure that they're what I call skyscraping. Skyscraping, kind of like, when you run out of, room, like in New York City, the only way you can build is build up, right? And so therefore find ways to, kill 2 birds with 1 stone. Example of this is, for example, I've done events where I made money on events, and then I recorded the event, and then I sold the recordings to make money off that, and then that's evergreen. That's something I can sell forever, right? Sometimes I even record certain types of audios or podcasts, and then I'll go and sell those. And I'll even use them as a value offering with other events I spoke at to add more value to make more money when I do that at events. Now, I don't do that as much as I do anymore. I mean, actually, technically, you can go to my website, and you can even see that there's actually, different types of audios and things that I have on there for those of you who say, hey, I want to a little extra flavor, something beyond this podcast, something for some actionable items and tips and things like that, So I give a lot of my secrets, quote unquote, away, But that's why I did it. I mean, that's stuff that I don't have to keep managing, it's just stuff that's there. And I create multiple streams of income from that. Now outside, because I know a lot of you guys don't have a business, and that's perfectly okay because it makes it simple. For you guys, it could be a side business. That could be great because that can give you some tax advantages. But for the most part, it's going to be things like doing investments. And we're going to be trying to take that money and getting that money working for you, right? And I'll tell you, lately, that's been where I've had the most fun. I mean, yes, in business, you can create multiple streams of income. And that's kind of cool because you can create, with a little extra time and energy, you can create some infinite returns or very highly leveraged returns and much better cash flow if you have a business. But if you don't, that's perfectly okay because there's plenty of people who can do it. Your focus is creating as much value as you can with the work you're doing, get paid as much, manage those expenses, and then creating as much freed up cash as you can to then invest. And then when you turn around and start creating money with that, oh my goodness, it's awesome. And I tell people all the time, like, it's not too hard with investments to get at least a 10% per year rate of return, and that can even be paying you monthly. So understand this, even if you have $100,000 of resource you can use, you can create an extra $10,000 a year of income, passive income, right? Now, the cool thing is if you take that $10,000, you don't increase your expenses with it, like Parkinson's law tends to do. Parkinson's law says that whenever you have an increase of income or decrease of expenses, you use it up. So we don't want to do that, right? We don't want to, you know, use up the money that you make. Take that extra $10,000, throw that on top of the money you've been making. So say, for example, you stop contributing your 401k. That's maybe $10,000, $15,000 a year. You now make an extra $10,000 of passive income. Now you got like $25,000 a year. Guys, you can buy, you know, even just one example, you could buy an investment property every year with that, increasing your cash flow by at least a few hundred a month. And then, of course, you're building equity and things in other places. Then you start to reposition. And within 10 years, that, you know, even though a few hundred a month per year might sound little, you know, but it could easily be $5,000 to $10,000 a month of passive income within 10 years. That's the power of this, guys. Like, it's so fun when you do that. And I'll tell you, if I would not have cut off my income streams during the recession, I would have been better off there too. But I cut them off again because that was, you know, what some of the partners wanted me to do. They wanted me to focus all on the mission. And looking back, I should have said, hey, I can do the mission and I can still have passive streams of income. And I'll tell you, it's essential. So if you can have those reserves in place, at least 6 months reserves, manage your expenses, even when times are good, and make sure you minimize them, be responsible, but still enjoy life too. You can still go on those trips and do some of those fun things, but just be a responsible steward of it. And then three, create those multiple streams of income so that if anything happens to your mainstream of income, you've got some buffer, you've got some extra help. No matter what, even if things lower, things get a little bit off, you've got things in place to help you. And guys, most important thing is to keep that abundance mentality throughout. So anyways, I hope this is useful for you. Put it into practice right now because it doesn't work unless you put it into real practice today. If you want help with that, shoot me an email, chris@moneyripples.com. And you guys have a wonderful and prosperous week. We'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on The Chris Miles Money Show.